Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Cafeteria Christian.
I'm Emmy Kegler.
I'm Natalia Turfa.
And this is a podcast for people for whom, you know, so the title that we proposed today is one that you've already seen if you've clicked on this episode. And it's Mothers.
It's not a surprise.
No. Surprise. Spoiler alert. And the title is Mother's Day is Fraught. And I think this is a podcast for people for whom a lot of things are fraught. A lot of things that have seemed untouchable, unquestionable, undoubtable, holy or sanctified, including Mother's Day, but also, you know, things that are culturally considered holy or sanctified, we find them fraught. That's who this podcast is for.
I love this word.
Fraught?
I love the word fraught. Fraught.
What is the, where do you think that, the like, what is the...
Etymology?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay, you start talking, I will go to Google.
This is good. Okay, it's Middle Dutch to Middle Dutch to Middle English, wrought, and it is laden or equipped or loaded with cargo. Oof.
Heavily
wrought, heavily burdened.
That is legit.
Mother's Day has baggage. That's what we're saying.
Oh.
Excellent.
Do we want to just keep going, or did you have any other, do you want to do a stupid joy or a what's on your tray or?
I mean, I have a fun facts in Christian history asterisk, and all these facts are fun, and it happens to be mothers related.
Well, let's do it.
So, we received from Charlie's bio dad a beautiful wooden Noah's Ark as a gift for his baptism. Because we, so part of our IVF journey is that we know Charlie's donor and have an ongoing relationship with Charlie's bio dad. And Charlie will have a relationship with his bio dad and his bio dad's kids and wife. Because that's how we wanted to do it. Everybody who goes through fertility processes outside the quote-unquote standard makes their own decisions, but that was the one that was important for us. So, Charlie's bio dad got him a lovely Noah's Ark set. And I get, I think I, like, came out of my office after doing some intensive writing or something. My wife is putting Charlie down for a nap, and she looks at me and she says, "What's the name of Noah's wife?" And I just froze because I thought she meant, like, a Noah, a guy we know. And so I'm thiefing, like, rifling through in my head, like, Noah Nelson, Noah Olsen, Noah, who? And then I look at her and I go, "Do you mean, like, Noah from the Bible?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay." Fair enough. And I said,
she's asking her professional Christian weirdo. I mean, hello.
Right. And I said, I don't think she has a name. And my wife says, "Well, whatever her name is, she's behind the bookcase." we have a toy shelf, and Noah's unnamed wife had fallen behind the bookshelf. And then I was like, "Well, I feel like she does have a name." And so I went digging, both deep within myself and deep within the internet. And Noah's wife, along with the three wives of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, which I'm not going to get into just because then that would be the entire episode, would be reciting all their names. There's like 15 different names assigned to them apocryphally. So if you're like me and you grew up on maybe some like adaptations of the story of Noah's Ark or Genesis, like Stephen Schwartz's musical Children of Eden, or the Broadway musical adaptation 2x2 from Clifford Odette's play, or Madeline L'Engle's novel Many Waters, which is like a sidebar to Wind in the Door, Swiftly Tilting Planet series. It features the twins. I have like a really deep love for Many Waters. I think it was one of the first books that I read that was like biblical fanfic, and I was a young kid, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool." So in those, so in Many Waters, she's named...
I'm just waiting for your own series of biblical fanfic. It's like in there. It's in you. It's already in you. We all know it. It's there.
I don't have a lot of time. I think the only way I'd be able to get it done would be if I just start waking myself up at 5 a.m. and recording myself just talking out loud, I think that's as much as I'll ever get done, because it's just, I don't know, life's hard with a baby.
Listen, if you did that, I would type it for you.
Oh, I'd use a transcription service. I wouldn't subject you to that.
There you go.
All right, okay.
It would be great.
Now I've made a commitment, and I'm going to get... Okay, anyway. So in Many Waters, her name is Matred, which is kind of a... There's another Hebrew Bible female person who has that name. In Children of Eden, she's called Mama. Great. In 2x2, she's called Esther, so picking up another name from the... Hebrew Bible, but then we started to get into some really wild variations, and unsurprisingly, a lot of those wild variations happen within Christianity, because Christianity just decides to go all the way off of the wild end. So, let's see here. Panarion of Epiphanius, in about the 4th century, gave her the name Barthenos. The Inventionis Numinum called her Set, which is interesting because that's an Egyptian name, typically. Persian historian Muhammad ibn Jarar al-Tabari called her Amzura. The Anglo-Saxon Codex Junius called her Perkaba. Peter Comastor, who wrote a Middle English illustrated version of Genesis, called her Fuarpara. A Middle English catechism and the Anglo-Saxon Solomon and Saturn riddles wrote in Middle English, Vat hict Noswif, meaning what is the name of Noah's wife, which was Dalida. Gnostic literature calls her Noria. Pedro Somronto de Gamboa's History of the Incas calls her Vesta. And there's just this fascinating list of all these different Christian traditions. So that's basically covering from the 3rd century up through the 1600s of different versions of what they called Noah's wife. Now, did they ever bother to, you know, ask the Jews? The original owners of the story? Like, it's very much a sort of like, this is Lake Calhoun for you Minnesotans. And no one just bothered to ever ask, like, hey, do the people who originally lived here have a name for this? Should we use that? No. We're going to make our own up. We're not even going to listen to the name that exists for it and, like, horrifically anglicize it. We're just going to make up our own names. So, the Genesis Apocryphon, which is a Dead Sea Scroll dated to between the 3rd century BCE and 1st century CE, called her Emzara, which I love. I think that's great.
Emzara. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Let's see here. A whole bunch of different Syriac, so the Syriac Book of the Cave of Treasures, the Patriarch Eutychus of Alexandria, and the Kitab al-Magal, or the Book of Rolls, all called her Hekel, which in Syriac means temple.
Ooh.
So all of that to say, this last Sunday we had some friends over, and our friends, range this beautiful spectrum, but include, like, probably... I think we're, like, 40% Jewish in this friend group, which is, like, maybe a higher percentage than most Minnesotans hang out with. And it's just lovely. But it also always puts me on my guard, because I'm always like, I don't want to say something stupid. Like, I really don't want to, like... I've been so steeped in Christendom that I feel like... I know that they do Sabbath blessings over dinner, and they've had us over for Sabbath dinner, which is just amazing. But so I would, like, it was Sunday night, so it's not Sabbath for them. And so I was like, they have a daughter... And I said, do you do blessings at every meal? And they kind of looked at me like I was growing 3 heads. And I'm like, what? I was just trying. I don't know. They were fine.
I was just trying.
They were fine. But they just sort of were like, oh, no, we don't. And I was like, okay, great. Like, asked a question and answered it. But she spotted the Noah's Ark that we had. And she got it down, wanted to play with it, so we absolutely got it down and let her play with it, because it's just this lovely little wooden toy set. Absolutely amazing. I love it so much. And she picks up the female character in the set, and she says, it's Na'ama! Because apparently, in the Jewish daycare that she goes to, they send her home with picture books, and one of them includes Na'ama singing the animals to sleep. So Na'ama is a common name assigned to Noah's wife in Midrashes, including the Genesis Rabbah Midrash, by the Jewish commentator Rashi uses it, and the Book of Yashar Midrash, the Book of Joshua Midrash, also uses it. Na'ama, And she has this lovely little kid story where Na'ama sings all the animals to sleep on the ark, right?
That's so cute! That's so cute.
And I was just like, oh, this is so... Also, that just sounds like so much... I don't know. It's Na'ama seems like a name that could go with Noah, where like Noah and Puarfara, or Noah and Mama, just seem like a little overburdened. Like, that just... Like, you can tell they're making it up. And Na'ama just sounds like, yeah, it sounds like mom, but not quite. And it was just so lovely. And also just this really good reminder. Not only had I done all this research and found Na'ama along with the 15 other names that I just named, but also, you know, that Christians have been doing this since the dawn of Christianity. Of just like, well, we'll find our own name. And it's like, you could literally just ask someone who already knows. So that's my story. That is my fun fact in Christian history, asterisk, not all these facts are fun, and that went on for 10 minutes. You're welcome.
But that was fun.
Thanks.
Because it is sort of on brand, right, of the role, I mean, Mother's Day, part of what makes Mother's Day fraught is the role of women in church, and how if women are only just vessels for childbirth, then, then of course they don't need a name or, and they only need a day that celebrates, the fruit of their loins and that only.
Right. Right. Her name is Mama. And I'm like, really? You couldn't? Okay. Sure. Yep. That's great. Really? Stephen Sondheim? Stephen Sondheim. Mr. Creativity. Couldn't come up with anything better than Mama. I'm disappointed in you, sir. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, so first I want to say, if you go in the Wayback Machine, I think it's episodes, I'm pretty sure it's 76. I will try to find it and link it in the show notes.
That's a good idea.
Matthew is currently on sabbatical. Matthew, we love you. So I have been doing the edits and the links. I'm not as good at it as Matthew is. So I just want to say, I will do my best. If it's not in the show notes, offer me all the grace. And if it is, yay, Natalia, you did it. So
we believe in you.
Thank you. I think it's episode 76. It's from the wave. It's from the before times, but it is an episode we did where we invited women within our community, and actually there was a gentleman in there as well to talk a little bit about Mother's Day and the difficulty that that day presents. Part of what we wanted to talk about and share and bring forward in that episode was a thing that I do think has been brought to the forefront of culture a little more than it used to be. So, I mean, the idea that Mother's Day is not a happy day for everyone, or that Mother's Day is not particularly painful or difficult for everyone, is not a thing that is... I think it's just much more in front of people than it used to be. So,
did you, I don't know if you're signed up for any of these, but like DoorDash sent a little email like a week or so ago that said, hey, we know Mother's Day is complicated. If you don't want to get any emails or notifications about deals for Mother's Day, like click here. And then it would automatically set your account to not send any notifications about Mother's Day. And like, we're going to get into like my complicated relationship with motherhood, but I am functionally a mother, depending on, you know, how you define motherhood. And like, I have a good relationship with my mom, and yet I was also just like, this is so lovely because it is so complicated for people. And the more I've noticed how complicated it is, the more I notice how much Mother's Day shows up in the culture. You can't get away from it. You try to watch Netflix or stream Spotify to escape from the day, and it is just, like, constant flower and, you know, Wi-Fi, like, digital frame, everything. Like, everything. Yeah. Like, did you get your mother a gift? You better do it now.
Yeah, I think it's really lovely that there are some email lists, there are some companies that are letting people opt out. I think that's really beautiful to just say, hey, do you not want to get this? You don't have to. That is a thing that I feel like would not have happened even 5 years ago, right? So it is really beautiful that idea is maybe more out in the public sphere than it used to be. The church, however...
Natalia, you're not going to suggest something absolutely, like, off the wall, like, the the church has been slow to catch up.
The church has been a little slow to catch up. I know, shocker, shocker. But I think part of it is that we have, the church is very patriarchal, and it is slow to break out of that idea that a woman's role is to be a mother, a wife and mother, and in no way recognizes many parts of how that is fraught, as we will pull in this word now. And the Bible does a good job of not sharing those parts of the story. And churches do a good job of ignoring parts of scripture that might lift up women in a different way, or churches just, if they believe in complementarianism, which is this idea that like women are partners to men and men are the ones in charge of all the things and women just have to like be alongside them and raise their children and be their perfect little wife, then of course Mother's Day would be the day you get to like lift up that partner, right? But it is so brutal and broken and not the way God is in the world. And yet the church, I think, can maybe recognize that and doesn't have a good response or answer or workaround. I think sometimes, I just had a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours this week say, I really struggled that when people will talk about feminine images of God, they often refer right away to the mother hen.
Ooh, yep. Mm-hmm.
And so even when we focus on God not being masculine in order to undo some of the patriarchy, we still fall into that role that motherhood is the thing that is feminine, and that is the most powerful feminine thing. Mm-hmm. And I, even saying it now, I have goosebumps because I was like, this is why we need people's voices and experiences to be out in the public sphere, because I had literally never thought of that until she said it. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like being around, being a pastor, being a person in a church, being around people who have lost pregnancies, who have lost children, who have lost mothers, who have, cut their relationships with their parents or children off. Like if they have a broken relationship with a parent figure, or a child, those are so painful that coming to church on a day that celebrates that relationship or that role or that way of being in the world is so hard for people. And I know I said this probably 5 years ago, I've said maybe every Mother's Day episode we've ever done, that I think it is a problem that the church doesn't have an answer for a day where people skip church in order to not, not be in pain. And I think that is wrong. I just think it is so wrong that I've been very clear in my own congregation, like we don't do Mother's Day church. We don't talk about Mother's Day in church. We have one prayer that we say that acknowledges the day and how fraught it is for all of the things. Like we honor the many kinds of mothers in our life, knowing that not everybody has a good relationship with their birth parent or that there are lots of ways to mother each other. Mm-hmm. And that there's a lot of pain attached to the relationship as well. And so that is it. That's all we do. But I know we are in the minority and that so many people bail on church for that day because it is too hard. And I find that awful. And I find it awful that the church is kind of like, meh. And maybe I understand it more after COVID where I'm like, this is how people have been treated with disability forever. Just like, well, I'm sorry. But I think on Mother's Day, it just makes me so mad that this is how we've operated, that we're just like, well, I guess like we have to celebrate mom. So I guess too bad for the rest of you. And right. You're like, ugh, blech, can we not though?
Yeah, we have to celebrate moms. So like every mom in the church gets a carnation. Like I know churches still do this. And my church was, a couple people would mention it to me every year and just be like, well, you know, my church used to do, or we used to do, carnations for all the moms. And I was just like, mm-hmm. And just dead stare at them. Like, let's think for a moment about why that might not be a good idea. One of the best preachers and future pastors in my congregation didn't come to church on Mother's Day because she couldn't do anything related to it. Like, basically shut down. And that was actually the first place I, like, her witness to how painful that was what got me noticing, like, oh my gosh, you can't even just descend into, like, a Spotify playlist to crowd out all of the messaging because the ads are there too. And what we ended up doing, I wrote, and we've read it on the podcast previously, this prayer of, like, a prayer for our mother and God and for celebrating the women of valor among us, which was based on Rachel Held Evans's expression, women of valor, which is a translation from a common Hebrew expression, and celebrated and recognized the many different ways of mothering and also the many different ways of mothering loss. But then, like, the list became really long, and I started just wondering, like, is it just, am I making people hurt more by naming all the ways that we hurt? Should we just not do it at all? And it is a whole thing. It's also just fascinating. I mean, you know, I can do a whole history on Mother's Day because of course I can. I think I have before on the podcast, but basically it was started post-Civil War, as a day to organize for peace, as a day to unite, Northern and Southern, like, Union and Confederate mothers and women and wives in advocating for peace because they had lost so many husbands and sons. And so the idea was, if we have this Mother's Day for peace, all the mothers will come together and, like, demand that the representatives march on Washington. Like, this is before women had the vote, but, like, let's figure out ways to take concrete action that would prevent any kind of devastation like the Civil War happening again. And, you know, within 20 years, it was like, did you make sure to send your mom a card that you bought from a store? So the woman who kind of, there's differing narratives for, like, who originated Mother's Day and what the idea was, but basically all of them ended up hating the way it looked by the time they passed away because it either became,
What? Capitalism ruined something? Right.
Capitalism combined with, like, sentimentality, like, personal sentiment, individualized sentimentality, where, like, the focus shifts from how do we empower mothers and women in general, like, people who are denied political advocacy, because, again, they didn't have the right to vote, how do we empower them to make change that will benefit themselves and the people around them, especially including their children? And we shifted that into, like, make sure to send your mother a nice handwritten note. And then the person who advocated for nice handwritten notes hated that Hallmark came in and was like, what if you bought a card with a pretty flower on the front? And she was like, I hate this. It shows, like, it shows no attachment to your mother. You're just cheapening out because you're not actually putting any effort into it. You're just letting somebody else write and make something pretty for you, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, individual sentimentality combined with capitalism is a heck of a drug. Especially for a nation recovering from the Civil War and trying to advocate for, like, what does life look like? And it's just easier if you get people to focus on your internal life and what you can spend money on and who you're supposed to be responsible to on an individual level versus a communal one. That's a short history of Mother's Day with none of the dates included because I don't memorize dates super well.
I mean, preach, because I just think, like, here's part of the fraught too, right? Is that the purpose of it was never to be like, everybody thank your mom.
Right.
And like, sure. But like, what does that do? You know, like, what does thanking your mom do? What if your mom sucks? What if, you know, it's just like, what are you supposed to do with this? How have we turned a thing? And even the original idea, I get it. And it still sucks for people who maybe weren't married and didn't have children and, like, how are they, you know, it was inclusive, right? It was for everybody. It was just organized by people who had lost a mother, or a husband or a son. But you know, it's like maybe a better use of Mother's Day would be not the breast cancer run because all moms have boobs, but like that, which is what a lot of people do here, but what a better use of Mother's Day might be organizing against gun violence, for example. I mean, like, that to me would be a better use of the day if we're, like, leaning into the origins of why it exists. But, like, no matter what, anytime you single out for recognition one group, you automatically leave out, and it's like the point of it used to be like, oh, moms don't get any recognition, you know, this is the day. But you're like, I mean, I'm always like, is cooking your mom like a bad meal in bed really gonna make her happy? Is she gonna have to clean the kitchen later? Is that what's gonna happen anyway? I just, like, what are we actually... One of my colleagues was like, oh, we don't celebrate Mother's Day at my house because I end up having to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's so stupid. Mm-hmm. Also, the pressure to, like, I just, anytime, so here's my oppositional defiance. I don't obviously have a clear thought at all here, but my oppositional defiance is like, anytime it's like, you have to do this, I'm like, no, I just don't want to. You know, all of me is like, I'm not gonna. And yet this year I'm not working on Mother's Day for the first time, maybe in 20 some years. And I was just like, and for sure since I've had, like, the first time since I've had a child, I was in labor on Mother's Day. So, like, it's the first time in a long time. And I'm like, do I want breakfast in bed? Like, I don't think so. I still get up before everybody else does. Like, I don't know. Like, is that, even then I find myself, like, leaning into the, like, supposed to's of the, like, am I supposed to want this? What is the point of this day? And, like, why are we doing it? Should we appreciate the people in our lives every day? Yes. Emmy's like, no.
No appreciation.
I don't know.
No, and, go on.
And it's just the saccharine, sweet, smushy, like, cheesy, all of it just feels like stereotypical, like, this is what your mom wants. I'm like, what if she doesn't? What if, you know, I hate all of it, and all of it makes me want to, like, I just hate all of it. And, you know, you're just like, you know what would be helpful is paid maternity leave, universal child care, things that would actually make moms' lives better. So, like, I don't know, maybe sit down with your card and your, like, weird flowery thing. I just am not into it. And it's so hard to stand up in front of a room full of people on Mother's Day who you love and know, who you can look out at a room as a pastor and be like, I just buried your mother. Mm-hmm. I sat with you in the hospital as you mourned your pregnancy loss. Mm-hmm. I know you're going through your fourth round of IVF and you are devastated by every negative pregnancy test. Like, I just think recognizing how painful the day is just a part of it. But the whole day is kind of fraught. Even if you have a kid, even if you are a parent, even if you have the number of children you want and you love your children and you love your spouse and you have a good relationship and everything is great, it's still fraught because there are expectations and, like, it should look like this that then become what the word fraught means, which is baggage that weighs you down in a day that shouldn't, you know. I have lots of obviously unformed big feelings and thoughts. Shocker. Let's try something new, Natalia. Have a big feeling that is unformed.
Here's what I'm going to put to you, because you have a daughter capable of critical thinking and planning ahead. Like, I couldn't put this on my child because he's 8 months old. But so I'm going to talk a little bit about one thing that I'm doing at work right now, and then I'm going to answer my question, and then you get some pause time to think about the question while I'm talking. And my question is, what do you actually want for Mother's Day? Like, what do you personally, Natalia, want for Mother's Day? What would you like your family to do? Because guess what? We're dropping this episode like a week in advance. You can give them a heads up.
okay, go.
So, taking off from your point about, like, what does mom really want, like, universal childcare, there is actually an action happening. Last year was the first year, and over 400 daycare centers nationwide participated in it, and it's called A Day Without Childcare. And it's the Monday before Mother's Day, and literally what daycare centers are invited to do is, in coordination with all of their clients, obviously, is shut their doors for the day. And have people experience what a day without childcare is like, because for so many people, that is a real experience of, I can't afford or access quality childcare. And the idea then is to use that effort in political advocacy. So I'm actually writing on that for work right now, which is great. Like, this is what I get to do now for my work, is, like, learn about cool political actions and write about them.
Also, I just want to say, for those of you patrons who watch the feed, you're watching Emmy's cat just try his hardest to engage the dogs in play, and they are not into it. Trudy full up changed her location to get away from him, and he's just like, please, will somebody play with me? I am so cute. Don't you want to play with me? They are not. They are super not into it. It is just in the background. It is a delight. I'm sorry. I was very distracted while you were giving me that little speech. And
it's fine.
Ernest, leave Trudy alone. She is old. Just let her be. Just let her be. She deserves every minute of rest.
Ernie, come here. Hey, Ernest. Oh, boy. He's going to get bit in the face.
And he will deserve it. Okay, you rescue your poor dog.
I'm
going to
rescue my poor dog. Hang on.
I will answer your question, which is, my family, because they know me and they know me well, they already know what I want for Mother's Day. They already know. They know that I want to eat good food. I want to sit on the deck. They know I want to go on a walk somewhere. It is the 1 year I know Layla will go on a walk with me without complaining because she knows I love it. And we will find some trail somewhere and go on a great hike, and it's lovely. It's fine. You know, I think we often in my family have my daughter's birthday is usually around Mother's Day. And so we will do a family birthday and then we will celebrate, you know, I'll say happy Mother's Day to my own mother at that time and give her a gift at that time. So I don't know. It's not really like we go hang out with my mom on Mother's Day. Not that we can, but we've just usually seen her the day before. It's fine. So we try to kind of smush it all together. It's funny. My husband thinks it's super weird when people who have not birthed me or I have not birthed say happy Mother's Day to me. You know, like you go to church and he's like, happy Mother's Day. And I'm like, thanks. You're not my child or my parent. It's like a weird thing. You're just like, it's like, I don't know, but it's fine. But then again, I have that same feeling about like, why are we doing this? Or he's like, you know, you don't need to get something for your sister and your sister-in-law for Mother's Day because, you know, it's not, he's like, that's weird. Don't you think that's weird? I was like, I don't know, everybody's mom. Yay. But it's also like more love for everybody. And also it can be super painful for other people who don't get a gift and don't get a happy Mother's Day and want it, or who don't want it, but hate that everybody else is getting it. Right. Who there's plenty of people who have chosen to not have children and they get nothing. That's not fair. You know? And it's like,
I'm sorry, I just thought of the Willy Wonka. You get nothing. Good day, sir.
Y'all, the video is epic today of us really just is. Laughing at each other and yeah. The animals and all the things. But yeah, it is fraught. It's just fraught. And I wish we just didn't do it. Can we not participate in it? And also, I do want to hang out with my family on that day. So that's nice.
Pick a lane, Natalia.
I know. I'm very inconsistent. I don't like it.
Yeah. I like it because we were able to sort of establish, this is family time. And there is some people who are in same-gender marriages don't love some of the weirdness that you have to navigate with not having, like, specified gender roles. We enjoy it most of the time because it means that we get to basically say for Mother's Day, like, we're just doing, like, it's the whole weekend is us. The whole weekend is us and family. That's what we're doing. We're just doing whatever we want. And you can't tell us what to do with our lives. And so right now, all I'm doing is just thinking like, okay, what's going to make the day super easy? Like, where can I order ahead some food? What will we enjoy doing? Like, the weather's finally going to be decent, hopefully. We'll, you know, probably go plant shopping because Michelle really loves our yard gardens. So like, she'll get to pick the plants, the vegetables she wants to grow, and I get to put them in the ground and we will be happy. And it's really great because we do have enough, like, no matter what gender your partner is, you can have a system of communication in a relationship where, like, you already know, like, oh, this is what this person would want or would enjoy at the very least. Or if I get this person flowers, that's, like, you know, nice, but maybe something else, if I plan ahead of time, would be better. Which does lead me into some thoughts about Father's Day that we haven't touched on. We usually don't talk about Father's Day because Father's Day... So Father's Day gets added in like the 1970s, I think, to some extent as a kickback from the permissiveness of the the sexual freedom of the 60s and the sort of desire to reinstitute the family unit as a run-up to, like, Reagan's era. Just this sort of conservative backlash, and, like, this is also where you get James Dobson and, like, discipline as devotion and all those kinds of things. But the thing that I find interesting about Father's Day is that Father's Day has always been this sort of, like, ha! You know, dad. Like, the cards... It's really easy to find a card for a conflicted relationship with your dad. And I say that because I've shared publicly that, like, my dad and I had a tough relationship, and there were years in my life where, like, I didn't feel like getting him a card, or, like the kinds of cards you find for Mother's Day would not work for the relationship I had with my father. But it was always easy to find one, because there were always joke cards like, "Dad, thanks for teaching me everything I need to know about life." Inside of card, especially how to make fart sounds in my armpits. Happy Father's Day. And, like, Target sold them. You could find 18 different ones in that category. I don't think there's a lot of those for Mother's Day.
Ooh!
And it's a reflection of this cultural thing that, like, we haven't... I'm gonna say this, and I think I'm gonna get in trouble, and I'm gonna say it. We haven't made the role of father as serious as we've made the role of mother. Right? Father is always one role that men fulfill, whereas mother is the role that women fulfill. And despite, you know, the, you know, entrance of women into the workplace in the 1980s, and, you know, the dual income, no kids status, and our growing revelations that Mother's Day is just, like, really not maybe that great, and or at least a lot of people should be given the choice to opt out. I don't think I'm going to get an email from DoorDash. It's like, do you want to opt out of Father's Day? Because Father's Day was already kind of funny. Like, well, everybody knows that your dad's, like, not emotionally there for you, but he taught you how to change the oil, and that's, like, you know, all you really needed.
Emmy, you're just... Ugh, I love this. I love this so much because it's true. I mean, I was even told, like, moms bring the care and dad brings the fun. Like, I was told that early on in parenting, and I was like, I want to be fun, though.
Nope, you can't. You have the uterus, so you can't be fun.
I was like, wait, why? Why can't she go to dad for care? I don't understand. Like, I would like to also be fun, and I would also like dad to have... to care. And I just was like, this is it, like, these 2 days, one of the reasons both of them are so fraught is our word of the day. That's the word of the day, is because they are so gender role specific. And yes, all the flowery, thank you for being, you know, I'm so thankful you're my mom and you love me and care for me and blah. And there aren't joke cards. You're right. They're hard to find. And the dad cards are, like, I mean, we love a dad joke around here, so the cards are always really easy to find for us if you want, you know, a punny joke and a gag gift. Like, you can find those anywhere. And it's like, what if I wanted tools, though? Are there, like, why doesn't Home Depot get discounts on tools for Mother's Day? I what if I want a power drill? I would like a power drill for Mother's Day, but that isn't a thing I get. I get flowers. I get discounts on plants, which is fine. I like plants too. But we've just, like, so siloed into these very clear gender role expressions. And obviously we don't make sure dads aren't having a painful Father's Day because they don't have emotions. And so, like, we don't need to worry about them maybe having a bad relationship with their parent or child or losing a child or any of these. Like, they're not struggling with that. They don't have emotions. They're the fun ones. And it's just so, it's such a bummer because the day is hard no matter what, you know, and it can be joyful no matter what. We just expect it to kind of be one thing, but Father's Day feels like the throwaway day. Or my personal pet peeve is that Mother's Day, you're supposed to hang out with your kids, but on Father's Day, the dad gets a day by himself. And I'm always like, why? I want the day by myself. Why can't you take the child out of the house on Mother's Day? Why do I have to hang out with the child on Mother's Day?
Because such culturally, fatherhood is a burden we put on men, and motherhood is the goal to which all women...
aspire. Oh, fraught. I'm pounding my desk like Stalin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, is that a... And then I went, oh, yeah, the Dwight reference from The Office.
Yeah, Dwight Schrute Office. Okay. There we go. Like, thank you. Thanks. Very...
Okay. I just... Normally, I wouldn't say to anything that I did, like Stalin. And I was just like, wow, I just don't really... Okay, that's not... Yeah, yeah. Salesmen of Eastern Pennsylvania, unite! Pound, pound, pound. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good. It's good.
Thank you. Thank you for getting the reference. Everybody else, if you didn't get that, I'm so sorry. That did not make sense to you. But go. Go look up Dwight Schrute as Stalin, and you will... You can be in on the joke.
Yeah, Dwight's speech. Yep.
Yes, I just think, like, I think part of the day is if you are a parent like me, where I have a mom, I have a good relationship with my mom, I have a good relationship with my mother-in-law, I have a great relationship with my kid, mm-hmm. I didn't struggle to get pregnant, like, lucky me, hashtag blessed, all the things. Also, it matters to me to check in on my friends who have struggled, who on this day I know it is particularly painful, that it is so hard. One of my friends who was on that podcast that we did where we pulled in people who were struggling, she has wanted to get pregnant. She is not pregnant. This year she lost her mom and she was like, this day double sucks. Like it was already hard, but I could just like suck it up because it felt like fertility struggles are not as talked about. But like this year I lost my mom. This day is even worse. Like it is a gut punch. She's like, in some ways, I feel like Mother's Day is being set up to be harder than the day she died. And you're like, that is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong of us to do this to people. And I feel like I wish our culture could in some ways see the pain of these days as like more important than the celebration. It's just like, can we not have our feeds spit Mother's Day all over the place? Like, I just would love social media to take a chill pill. And that doesn't mean that I don't love my mom, or that doesn't mean I'm not honored to be my kid's mom.
Right.
But like, I don't need to perform my parenting or perform my child, you know, like my relationships in order to like, because I think it matters more that I don't hurt people on that day. You know, I'd like to not hurt people on Mother's Day. That would be my basic goal. When you say, what do you want on Mother's Day? How about that? I want my life not to cause pain to other people. And if I cannot blast my I love you mom on social media or whatever, like, she knows I love her. I don't need to put it on Facebook for that to be true, right? I don't need to put it on Instagram for me to have a good relationship with my kid. Mm-hmm. I can make that day, I can do a little thing and make the day less painful. I'm gonna do that. Like, that's fine with me. It doesn't need to be public performance. And I'm not going to judge other people for celebrating those things if they want to, right? Like, this is your all's first Mother's Day. That's so awesome. You should get to celebrate. You did this thing. It's awesome. And like, you struggled and prayed and worked hard, and like, it has been a year, and you had a baby during COVID. Like, everybody who had a baby during COVID should get to extra celebrate how hard it is. It's just, like, everybody gets to do what they need to do. I'm not going to judge anyone for celebrating the way they want to celebrate. And I just hope I can take a little extra care on this day. And note that there are ways to celebrate that can be less painful for people around me.
That's it's a really good reminder, because there was definitely a part of me that was like, yay, first Mother's Day, we're going to post so many disgusting pictures of this baby. And then I was like, ooh, exercise caution. It would be nice if all of our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, especially looking at y'all, had capacity to block tags. I was just playing with my phone right now, like, can you block the Mother's Day tag? So if somebody has tagged, I don't know.
So like, Twitter can, right? Like, Twitter. You can mute stuff on Twitter, which is like, wow, is Twitter better on this than other? I can't believe I'm going to say that. No. I can't believe that's... Oh.
In this one area, which was definitely a pre-Musk development, mm-hmm. Twitter is better. I was also using my reference point as Tumblr, because I went through a whole stage where I was on Tumblr a lot, because I, like most queer people, didn't have, like, teenagehood in the same way that, like, straight people do, and so we basically reclaim it in our 20s. But you can block tags. So, like, if somebody's tagged something, hashtag Mother's Day, you can go in and you can click Mother's Day and you can tell the thing to block it. So, hey, if anybody who listens to this podcast, like, works for Meta, like, hey, maybe could you just, like, real quick run that by Mr. Zuckerberg and just be like, hey, this would be a nice little, like, added feature for people. And then you could really, like, rebuild the image of the brand, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, like, you guys celebrate your awesome, adorable, cute kid and awesome family all the time. Like, you don't, yeah. I mean, it's just,
the only thing,
like,
we post.
Right, and that's gross. Lovely. Like, it's so cute for when Michelle's like, I can't handle how cute this kid is. Like, it's not fair that he gets cuter as he gets older, you know? And I'm like, that's hilarious. And that's celebrating your family anytime. But it's like, if we can do a tiny thing to make one day less painful, like, then maybe we can do that, right? It's like, yes, and
it would certainly, at the very least, I will be considerate of, like, little man, you made me a mother, and it's been the most important role of my whole life, and I never knew what it was to be a woman or a human or to be in love until I had a child. And it's like, ooh, that's okay. That might be an inside the house thought, which we have those. We have that expression in our family of just, like, this is an inside the house thought. This is not a Twitter thought or an Instagram or a text message thought. This is within these four walls. That thought stays here. And that's not really, like, my relationship to love and humanness, and definitely to my gender, has not been, like, has certainly been changed by him, but not been, like, radically fulfilled. Like, I never knew what it was to exist until I had this baby. Like, I super like him, but that's not true for me. So I won't be saying that, but it is a good reminder that, like, when we say that, what does that do? You can certainly make those posts, like, in your select groups. Like, Michelle and I are still in, you know, IVF support groups because goodness knows we all needed them. And I know we're going to get a ton of Mother's Day posts in those groups because they're usually specific to due dates, which is really cute because then, like, we're all our little IVF babies are growing up together. So we can all watch as they, you know, develop soullessly because that's how IVF babies develop. If you birth them in a tube, then they have no soul.
It's all fraught. It's all just cargo we are carrying.
Yes. You know how, like, okay. That just made me think of, and maybe it's just my squirrel brain, and that's fine. Natalia, if I say to you the words Oregon Trail, does something in particular come to mind? Okay, great. You just made, like, a little trotting gesture. Does a computer game come to mind?
Wagon and the little dude. You knew I was being oxen at that moment.
Amazing. Beautiful. Beautiful. How many
oxen? You knew exactly where I went there. I appreciate that.
Right. And how many oxen did you buy in St. Louis before taking off? Did you buy six or did you only buy two?
I mean, you buy four because you can make it all the way with two. It's just not fast. No. So you got to start with four.
Yeah. And if you buy six, then you're going to run out of money real fast.
You're going to run out of money.
Even if you choose being a doctor, because you're going to have to buy the axles. Okay. So
Don't let you eat the oxen when they die, which I just want to say is not realistic.
They don't let you eat the humans either. And I don't really. You just got to put them in a grave and put a little
R.I.P. on him. Yeah, absolutely.
So, friends, if you are not of the Oregon Trail generation, there was, like, one of the first educational computer games developed here in Minnesota was the Oregon Trail. And you could play it on, like, the old Apple IIs with the black and green screens. And in particular, if you got to a river, you had to decide whether you were going to ford the river or take a ferry. If you were going to ford the river, you were going to, like, basically try to seal up all the holes in your wagon and try to cross the river. You wouldn't know how deep it was, but basically get your oxen to pull the wagon through the river. Or you took a ferry. And the ferry you had to pay for, but the ferry you were maybe more likely to get across the river because you weren't, you, like, didn't matter how deep it got, you'd probably survive. And I think maybe that's my metaphor for Mother's Day for those of us who find it fraught, is just before you get to the river, because this episode's dropping on the 8th, or somewhere around there, before you get to the river, which is Mother's Day this coming weekend, think about it. What do you want to do? How much baggage are you carrying? How fraught is this day for you? And come up with a plan. And that plan might be you're going to have friends over and do like an extended Lord of the Rings full-on marathon so that you don't have to look at the internet or have any ads dropped in. That you just can't really do right now. And you don't even have to have friends over. You could just have a Lord of the Rings day. Do you need to talk to your partner about, like, hey, I know Mother's Day is supposed to be, like, mom spends the whole day with her kiddos, but actually, I'd really like to go elsewhere. Like, I'd like to get... my wife has gotten me a birthday surprise that I won't get until this weekend. Natalia knows what it is.
Oh, I do!
Because Natalia is taking care of the baby. And so when Michelle was like, okay, I have a birthday surprise. You don't get to know what it is. I'll tell you the day of what clothes you need. And here's what time it starts and ends. I was like, that doesn't make time. Like, it's not a concert. It's not a like, it's too long for a puzzle room. It's a weird start time for a concert. And finally I looked at her and I said, did you rent us a hotel room so we can go sleep? And she said, I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? That's a good gift. That might be a great gift for a mom. It's just like, I have, like, you go elsewhere. Go to this Airbnb, go to this hotel room. A massage is nice, but it's only an hour. So, like, let her really get out of the house and just be like, I have the children. You go away.
Listen, I'm gonna preach real second to the power of the 90-minute massage, which which is just a delight. So I'm just gonna throw that out there. I do think it's funny because for people with little kids, you do kind of want to get a break, right? You do want to sleep. You do want to catch up. You do want to get away. You want to run away. My kid is doing this, the teenager pull away distancing. I do kind of want to hang out with her on Mother's Day, right? I want it to be a no phone zone kind of hangout time where we get to sit and talk or walk or whatever and be goofy and play a game. Like, I do want that this year in a way that I hadn't previously because she was always right there. So sometimes you wanted the break. And this year I feel like, no, I kind of want to hang out with her more. So that, you know, changes and you can be clear with what you want if that matters to you. And if you don't have a good relationship with your parent or the day is really fraught for you, I think it is okay to tell the people in your life to set a boundary. Like Emmy is saying, think about it before you get to the river and say, this is what would really be helpful for me on this day. This, even your friend group, right? If you have a group chat or a Marco Polo or a whatever that you're in a group me or a WhatsApp, whatever group you're in, to say, I love you all so much. I can't do Mother's Day this year, and this is what I need from you as my people, right? As my community, as my loved ones. I need this to not be a thing. I need you to check on me. I'm not going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I need you to include me in whatever you're doing because otherwise I'll sit at home alone and that's going to be bad for me. Whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. I need to give my phone to somebody. Can somebody take my phone for me that day? Like, whatever it is, I think it's okay. We're not very good at asking for what we need, but I think part of that is because we get to the moment and we're like, oh shit, I didn't ask for what I needed. And I think the fact that this episode comes out well in advance is you do have a little time to say, what do I need? What is fraught this year for me? What baggage am I carrying? Mm-hmm. What feelings do I have? I think we've talked with Ellie so much about being embodied. And part of that is like being fully integrated, mind, body, spirit. How are you doing? Are you okay? You know, what do you want this day to be about? What would give you fullness and wholeness and life and joy? Yeah. And that is different for everyone. And for some people, it is absolutely going to be the cheesy, you know, colorful Mother's Day card. That's fine if that's you. Yeah, great. And also, it may not. And that's okay too. Just ask for what you need. If the day is hard, say it's hard. You have more amplification of that viewpoint than ever before, and people aren't going to think you're weird for saying it. I think this is one of those times in our cultural conversation where people can be honest about how hard the day is, and it doesn't feel weird or like you're the only one. You're not alone. You're not alone if the day is hard, and you're not alone if the day is joyful. You got people. You just need to be clear about what you need.
And if you're parenting a teenager who's like, I want nothing to do with you because I'm a teenager, maybe it's a good time, because we're stepping into this new era of parenting, I feel like, where you don't want to force your kids into cultural behaviors that are not healthy, because that's what a lot of people were forced to do with relationships with mothers that were not healthy, and like, well, you have to appreciate your mom anyway. And at the same time, you don't just want to be like, it's fine, I will just feel sad all day because my child hates me, which is not at all how Layla feels about you. But, you know, it's difficult to not internalize that, especially if people are posting on Facebook, like, look, my child brought me breakfast in bed, and they're 16, and they, started working at a restaurant 6 months ago in order to be able to make me the best Mother's Day meal possible. And you're like, burn the internet down. Burn it down. So, today, when you hear this, is a great time. If your kids are kind of in that, like, difficult stage, what are some things you could legitimately ask of them and maybe give them a couple options? I hear options are really good for children. My baby's not there yet. He just wants everything. But I hear options are really good for, like, here are a couple things that I would really enjoy. What feels doable for you? Because then it's recognizing that the kiddo has agency, but still that you would like something to mark the day. Even if it is, I will clean my room without complaining for the first time in 8 years. Maybe. Was that too close to the chest?
Ouch. No, it's fine. I think all of this is about recognizing how the day is, yes, as we've said, fraught. And there are things you can do to set some of that cargo down and let some of it go. And I think that's all we're asking here. You know, our tagline makes sense in this moment for a reason, which is that we, even with Mother's Day, we take what we like and leave the rest. So I feel like that's important for us to note in all these moments. Does it feel like an okay time for a blessing?
I think so. In fact, I think I hear my child needing to go down for a nap. Can you close us out?
Sure. Okay. I sure can. So Emmy, do you want to just say go? Emmy's going to say goodbye. That was her goodbye. And she gone. Okay, so I'm going to read. This is a blessing. For those of you watching, you can see the book. This is from Meta Herrick Carlson's Ordinary Blessings, her OG, the original book. This is a blessing for Mother's Day and Father's Day. So it's pretty day neutral. And I'm just going to read it. And whatever feeling you're feeling as you're hearing it, sit with that and use that to guide whatever decisions you make about how you're going to spend next weekend. And yeah, I think if you want to talk more or have more comments, there'll be spaces to do that also. But I hope this, recognizing that the day is just a soup of a stew, a hearty mix of all the emotions. It is lovely for some people, and that is so great. And if that's you, oh my gosh, great. And if that's not you, you are not alone. And you have permission to opt out. You have permission to opt out. Okay, so for Mother's Day and Father's Day, we give thanks for the parents who embody great love, who transcend gender stereotypes, who are still becoming thanks to parenthood. There is also time today to recognize those who long to be parents, those who grew while feeling the absence of a parent, those who did not feel safe with or loved by their parent, those who have buried a parent or a child. And for all the parental figures in community, your gentle strength and presence matters. Your devotion reminds us how to love other people's children as our own. If the message and tasks for today are simple enough, find gratitude in the miracle. It is a great gift to know a parent, to celebrate with a card and a hug, an easy story about affection and care that has been given your way. If you are lucky, they will confess for the millionth time how you changed their own lives too. For the galaxy of loving mothers, fathers, and adults made vulnerable by this work of protection and love, we give thanks. Oh, Emmy's back with a baby. Oh, you people who are on Patreon, you got all the good stuff this week, which is a good reminder that if you want to become a patron, you have video content every week, which is great. Hi, Charlie.
Who's that? Is that Auntie Natalia?
Hi. So everyone, this day is fraught, but like I said, you can celebrate or you can opt out. You have a myriad of choices on this day, just like you do with everything and every day. So Emmy, now that you're back, do you, yep. Oh, if you wanna, yeah, everybody knows how to find us and all the things, you know that already. So Emmy's gonna close us out with Charlie in her arms on this episode.
All right. Wherever you are, my dear cafeterians, whether as you look towards Mother's Day you feel the burden of fraughtness, or you feel light and joy and hope, or a distance but a relaxed one, whatever you may be approaching the day with, may you first of all know the feeling that you have and be able to face it, and second, find the power within yourself and within the community around you that loves you to be able to act with that feeling in a way that is healing for you and kind for those around you. Wherever you are, we hope you do what we do on this podcast, which is take what you like
and leave the rest. Bye, everyone.
Bye.